grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the parable of the marriage of the king's son, we have two things that are juxtaposed. On the one hand, we have the amazing grace of God, in which he decrees and he plans the salvation of sinners even before he lays the foundation of the world. He announces and he invites and he promises the coming of his kingdom. And then he is faithful, keeps his promise, so that his banquet is prepared, finished, and ready. And he invites us to come and feast, to come and enjoy the bounty of the grace of God in the person of Christ. And in contrast to this, we see the sinful wickedness of man, in that man refuses the invitation. Man makes light of God and his word. Man opposes and persecutes the church of God and the word of God. And man, even when he does profess religion, does not often hold in his heart the wedding garment of the righteousness of Christ, but he has on the garment of his own righteousness. And so, on the one hand, God's rich bounty of grace for us. And then on the other hand, the wickedness of man. Now, stuck in the middle of this, there is a description of those who are believers. And it's interesting to note that in this description, it really doesn't say anything about the believers other than that they're there. Right? The king says, go into the highways, and as many as you can find, invite them to the wedding. And so they went out into the highways, and they found as many as they sought, and they bid them to the wedding, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. But then it doesn't really say anything else about the guests. Because you see, you and I are in this kingdom of heaven. We are part of the kingdom of grace. Not because of anything we do, but because of the work of God on our behalf. The Lord God describes his Christians, his believers, as those who are the recipients of the manifold mercy, grace, and gifts of God. We are just thankful to be included, because we haven't deserved it, we haven't earned it. We are here by the grace of God, and we enjoy what we do not deserve, and we have a hope that we do not deserve either. But we are happy to enjoy it, because God is good, and he has saved us by the grace of God in Christ. All right, now, what's the purpose of the parable? The purpose of this parable is to, well, it's really summed up in the last verse. The last verse, verse 14, says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And so the question arises, why is it that many are called, but few are chosen? And the parable seeks to answer this question. All right? And there are two answers to the question. Many are called, but few are chosen, because most reject the invitation. Now notice, God fulfills, He plans, and He brings about His banquet, the wedding banquet, which represents the kingdom of heaven. God brings this about when He sends His Son into the world. And He sends His servants, the prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles and preachers of the New Testament, He sends them out into the world to preach the good news that we are freely invited to come to the supper. But notice the reception that the gospel has in the world. It says, they would not come. That means that most of the people who received the invitation refused to come to the wedding. They would not believe. They said in one way, shape, or another, not. Then it says further that instead of pouring His judgment out upon these wicked refusers right away, the Lord doubles down on His gracious invitation. He says, listen to me. I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come to the wedding. See, this is a picture of the church preaching the gospel to a world. And the world is like this. And the church is going, please, come. The door of grace is open. The mercy of God is extended to sinners. You may have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Come to the feast. How does the world respond to this continued invitation of grace? It says they made light of it. That is, they treated it as if it was not important at all. They made fun of it. They made fun of the church. They made fun of the preachers of the Word of God. They thought it was a trifling matter. Well, I guess if you're into that kind of stuff, you can do it. Right? And they went each their own ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. So not only did they despise and treat lightly the heavenly word of salvation, but they show that they prefer the good things of this world and have no concern whatsoever for the kingdom of heaven and the things of the life to come. And this is the way most people live in the world. No regard for their eternal well-being, but all regard for their earthly benefits and advantages. Went to their own way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. But you know, that's not all. It says, the remnant took his servants, spitefully entreated them, and slew them. Alright, so some people just refuse to come. Some people make light of it and prefer the things of the world. And other people form such a hatred of God and His Word that they feel obliged to oppose and persecute the Church of Christ and the Word of God. Stamp out the Bible. All right? So that's why many are called and few are chosen. These are called. And let me just say this. Some people would say, well, you know, when God calls all sinners, He's not really seriously calling everybody. He's only seriously calling some people. The rest He doesn't really care about. All right? In other words, God's call only extends to some of the people who hear it, not to others. And so the reason why all these people don't get into the kingdom is because God hates them and doesn't want them there. Never wanted them, doesn't want them. They're going to hell because God created them for eternal damnation. Right? That's what our Presbyterian and Calvinistic friends believe. Alright? So that's not the case here. Whenever the gospel is preached, the Holy Ghost is in that gospel truly and sincerely offering and cajoling and inviting every single one of us to faith. It is not God's desire that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so it is that there's not something wrong with the call of God. The problem is that many reject the invitation. So why is it that many are called but few are chosen? Answer number one is because most people who hear the gospel reject it and bring upon themselves destruction and judgment. Now the second part of the answer is a little bit more difficult, and that is found in verse 11. Many are called but few are chosen because many people outwardly comply with the invitation, but inwardly they have hearts that are dead to the grace of God. All right? So it says in verse 11, when the king came in to see his guests, he saw there a man which did not have on a wedding garment. And he said, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? How did you get in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. All right? And what does this mean? The wedding garment, all right, in ancient times when there was a wedding feast of royalty, not only were you invited to the wedding, but you were given clothing to wear at the wedding, and everybody was furnished with wedding garments that you would wear as part of the celebration and as a proof that you were one of those who had been invited. How does this translate into Christian thought? The wedding garment is the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to sinners by faith. All right? In the Old Testament, the Bible says of Abraham that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And what that means is Abraham was regarded as righteous in the eyes of God because of his faith. Abraham had faith, and God reckoned his faith for righteousness. Listen, in myself, I'm not righteous, and neither are you. None of us is righteous. As a matter of fact, we are bereft of righteousness. If we were to stand before God on the basis of our own personal righteousness, God would have no alternative but to throw us into hell. But there is an alien righteousness which is given to believers. And this is Christ's righteousness which He gives to us when we are baptized, he takes our sins from us and he gives us his righteousness and his standing as a true child of God. And so the Christian is justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man who is at the wedding, this is like the person who professes to be a Christian, who is found among the Christians, who may even be a prominent member of the church. But this person does not have true faith in Christ and the Word of God. This person, although outwardly he professes, he says the creed with everyone, he kneels at the Lord's table with everyone, he outwardly appears to be a pillar of the community, but he does not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for his redemption. He trusts in his own character and his own goodness. Now, he doesn't talk about that outwardly, because every time he's ever brought that up, Christians furrow their brows at him. But, you know, nevertheless, here's a man who he's there at the wedding feast, but he doesn't have the wedding garment on. And this is the person who professes to be a Christian, but has no faith in the Redeemer, is not clothed in the righteousness of Christ, but dares to come before God on the basis of his own righteousness and his own goodness. And so the Lord says to him, "Hey fella, how did you get in here without a wedding garment on? What are you doing among the people of God with no faith?" And the man is utterly speechless. Why? Because he is convicted and he realizes that the assessment is true, and he stands there silent. And the Lord says to his servants, "Tie him up and throw him out into the outer darkness, where there is the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth." All right? And what does that mean? Send this guy to hell. All right? Now listen. The punishment of the former group was brought upon not by God, but by their own sinfulness. All right? They refused the gift of grace, and therefore there is only wrath. And so it is here. This man had every reason to be clothed in the wedding garment of Christ's righteousness simply by believing in Jesus the Savior. But he would not. He nurtured in his heart the idea that he was an upright person of good standing in the community, and that if anybody deserved God's blessing, it was good people like him. He looked like a Christian, but he wasn't a Christian. He was an unbeliever. And through his unbelief and his persistent blindness to the gospel, which is self-inflicted, he ends up being cast into hell forever. All right, and so we have the second answer. So, why is it that many are called but few are chosen? A, because most people reject the gospel. And B, because many appear to accept it but really don't accept it in their hearts. So how are we going to finish this today? Well, let's one more time take a look at God's gracious bounty. Number one, he plans the kingdom of God. He reveals promises and announces and invites to the kingdom of God. He fulfills the kingdom of God by sending His only Son to redeem sinners. And then He sends His church into the world to preach the gospel so that sinners everywhere may hear the invitation and come to the wedding, that they might become part of this great number of the redeemed. All right? And the Christians in this text are described not by virtue of what they do, but by virtue of what is done to them and for them. And that's the wonderful thing about this. You know, sometimes we come to church and we're weary. We're weary of bumping against the world and its ways. We are weary of our own failures and our own weaknesses. And we come to church and it is such a relief to hear that the difference between an unbeliever and a believer is that the unbeliever works to resist the Word of God. But the believer is simply acted upon and included by the grace of God. Once again, the passage says nothing about anything that any of these people do. The only thing that matters is that the gospel came to them, they were invited, and there they are. Right? There they are. And that's what we can say today. I got nothing, but I'm here. Right? I got nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That, my friends, is Christian faith. And that centers our souls, not on ourselves and on our works, but on the gracious gift of God in Christ Jesus. Because through Him, everything is for us in Jesus. Amen.